So last time we were addressing the question, is homosexuality really wrong in all of its context? I know that what the verses say, and I know what the people say. I just can't help but feel that we're reading the passages wrong. I just don't fully understand how or why God would generally condemn true love, even if between two men or two women. Please talk about this. So we've been talking about homosexuality, but also I think it's important to kind of start off with the question, when we feel something, how do we find if that feeling is correct or not? Through God's Word. Right? We kind of started off with that a few weeks ago, and that was intentional. But what if we just feel that maybe we're not looking at it right? Well, how do we handle that? I mean, is it possible to not read the scriptures correctly? Yeah, it is. So, when you read something and it bothers you in the scripture, how do you handle that? Look for more. The best tool to use to interpret the Bible is the Bible. Right? And I think that look for more is exactly what we should do. If you come to one verse, and usually it's in Revelation or Psalms, or, you know, that people pull it out and go, aha, 144,000 people will be in heaven. Sorry for the rest of you. Right? Is there a verse that says that? There is. What's the problem with that one verse? It's out of context, it's figurative, and it is inconsistent with the rest of the scripture. So we use the scripture to inform scripture. Okay. Now, the topic that we're studying has changed so dramatically in popular culture. When I was a kid, way back in the Stone Ages, this was a very different conversation, right? What's changed in our culture that would make more people feel that God wouldn't be against it? It became a political thing. Yes, exactly. More exposure, right? So when I was a kid, you know, in Texas, homosexuals, I knew they existed. In fact, there was one in the town, but everybody was nice to the person as far as I know, but it was like, they're weird. It was taboo. But what did they do? What happened to TV? Normalized it, then glorified it, right? You have an accessory character that shows up. And you know what? They're just hilarious. You know, they were the comic relief at first, right? And it made it funny, right? Okay? Then they showed that they weren't bad people, right? Are homosexuals bad people? In general, no. There are some that are evil and some that aren't. Just like heterosexuals and everybody else. There are some that are evil and some that are not. Okay. But that doesn't mean that the defining characteristic of someone's orientation is okay or not, whether they're nice, funny people. And that's what we fight against. We fight against that in living together. Right? This is the same battle. Right? Should two people who are not married live together? No. What if I give you 1,000 reasons why it's a great idea to make sure that you're compatible for marriage? What is the right answer to that? That's not what God wants for us, right? Does it matter how you feel about that conversation? Does it matter if you think it's logical? No. It really doesn't. No. Yeah. But what's funny is they started with any sexuality. They started with the sanctity of marriage. They went, and so it's just a continuation. And the sin started when we started redefining what God planned for us. I think Randy has something to say. And is that a good idea? Anti-bullying? Is anti-bullying always a good idea? It is a good idea. Okay. Yep. Right. And so our goal is not to beat anyone up. Our goal is not to make anybody feel bad. Our goal is to glorify God. Right? Which is more important? Pretend you're a doctor. Right? You're an oncologist. You're a cancer doctor. And someone comes in and you know they have cancer. Do you want to make them happy at that moment, or do you want to make them happy in 5 years? Because making them happy in that moment would be, what would you do? You don't have cancer. Everything's great. We love, oh wow, great. Have a great day. But what's going to make them happy in 5 years? Being honest and open. And that's a very important thing when we try to, and wisdom in dealing with children is a very hard thing to find sometimes. We have to acknowledge that it's hard. But we do have a standard, not our standard, but God's standard, that we need to help them to, and ignoring issues is not going to help that. And I think one thing that we do not very well as a group of believers is helping, asking others to help us raise our children. We often, in Friday Night Bible Study, ask questions at the Friday Night Bible Study that our kids have asked us. Not because we didn't know the answer, because I wanted them to hear that other Christians say the same thing. And that's really reinforcing. Wow, Mom and Dad are not the only weird people on the planet. Right? It really does my heart good when I hear a Christian child say, we don't go see that movie, that popular movie, because my parents don't let me watch that. And I'm like, wow, my kids finally have someone to talk to, because they don't get to see 99% of the movies that come out. And they go, well, it's not that bad. And it's like, well, why would you pay someone to teach your kid bad things? Right? Always think it's interesting how it has a good story. Well, what does it portray the people who may not be glorifying God? So very important that we do that through love. And love is telling the truth. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was a beautiful story and that I'll share that I got from my wife that I think from Hiding Place, wasn't it the clockmaker? So the daughter gets to ride on the train with her dad, who's a clockmaker repairman, I think in Amsterdam. And he has this big case, and she loves it because it's quiet time with her dad, and she can ask him anything. Well, there was a joke or something that was risque that was said, and she wondered about it. And this was the time she was going to ask it. And her dad asked the question, didn't get mad or anything. He said, pick up my case. And she said, well, it's too heavy. I can't. And he said, that's right. And there's some things that are too heavy for you to carry right now, and I'll carry them for a while. And I say that to say that we don't have to give them all the information, but all the information I think we give needs to be correct. And I think that with things like that, we say, no, we believe that men and women can be married. And that's usually for a 3-year-old is going to be, okay, that's wrong, yes, but we're going to be nice, we're always kind, but that's the way it should be. Then as they get older, they're going to ask more detailed questions, and so, my opinion, and ask all the parents in here, you give them the information that they're truly asking for, but not more than that because a 3-year-old doesn't need to know. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I think that's right. Well, right. Well, you have to answer where they are. And so I think that's answering their questions, not giving them more information than they ask for. But I think it's very important that we don't lie to our kids. So all the information you give needs to be correct. And if something you think is just way past, you go, hey, let's talk about that in 6 months. If they remember to ask you in 6 months, then you need to be prepared to have that. But sometimes they just ask. Yes. We have to teach what's right before we expose them to what's wrong. And that's a hard decision. I'm not, but that is something that, I remember we were driving in Oklahoma there, Norman's about the town was a big casino and had big lights and all this. It looked like just a fun place. And kids were like, we should go there. And we're like, well, we don't actually go there. We don't think it's a good place. And Quinn's like, we need to get a bulldozer. No one can go there. Like, well, son, that's not our call. But Quentin, okay, thanks, Dad. But yeah, let's just dose this thing down. So the question is important, and I'm glad the person asked the question. But we need to be careful. Subjective, Jason said, it's subjective. Our feelings are subjective. Our feelings even change over time. The things that we need to do, the things we feel bad about, the things we feel good about. And we need to be careful with that. And Tracy said, 1 Corinthians 6:18, that our bodies belong to God. And that those are important things to think about when we think about those things, whether it's sex outside of marriage. Well, let's just say all of this is encompassed under sex outside of marriage as God defines marriage. Does that make sense? Yes, Shannon. Yes. No, it's very important. And that's the Song of Solomon, do not awaken love before its time. And that's something that is an important thing. You know, if you put yourself in a situation where sexual attraction is a possibility and there's for that to be fulfilled, given enough time, it's probably going to happen. It's just, that's my experience from the world that I've seen. And so do we try to wait for its time, teach our children to guard their eyes and things like that? That's important. How easy is it in today's society to do that? As a consumer of any movie made in the last 70 years, 80 years, it's shocking what's on, now it used to be innuendo, now they just say it, but it's amazing what was in the movies, 70 years ago. You're like, this is a black and white, it should be good. But you're like, oh well, no, sometimes they aren't. So yes, we need to do those things. Yeah, we haven't had TV in a lot of years. And so some friends invited us in Oklahoma for a Thunder game. So I'm sitting there, Quentin's here, I'm here, the wife of the couple's here, and he's here, and we're all there. We're watching a basketball game. I don't really care about the game. I'm trying to be a good part of a Christian family. And the commercials came on. And I was so embarrassed. And I didn't know what to do. I mean, and that was 8 years ago. I'm sure it hasn't gotten better, but I was like, where do I look? I feel like a 12-year-old. I'm like, and I'm like, I'm sitting next to a woman. No. It was pretty funny. If you could know what was going on in my head, you would have just died laughing because I'm like, what do I do with this? So, amazingly enough, you know what I did? I was silent, Jim. I actually didn't say anything. And Jim's like, that's impossible. So, very important that we think of those things. Okay, so we talked about last time Genesis 1:27 made male and female, right? Okay, very simple thought. And then we talked about 1 Timothy 1:10, and that was a good one. And then, did we talk about Matthew 19? We probably didn't. Did we? Okay. Alright, so let's turn to Matthew chapter 19. Lowell, would you read verses 4 through 6 of Matthew 19? Alright. The best way to counteract an error is to show what's right. This is what's right. This is what's right. God made male and female, two versions of humanity, right? And the intention was for what? They would join together, right? That's physical, that's emotional, that's social. They are a unit, right? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a very good thing, right? Okay, that is the standard, right? He made these two people, different, and then they join together and they form a whole. And that's a good, beautiful thing. And how long is that union supposed to last? For life. I like what Kevin says. One of us ain't getting out of this alive. And, very romantic, I'm sure. But I think it's hilarious. So that's what it's for. And that's a beautiful thing, right? Now, can people make this ugly? Yes. By not loving and cherishing husbands. Women, by not respecting, if we read, you know, Ephesians 5. Those make it bad. If we don't treat, if we don't nurture, if we don't build this up, if we don't honor it, if we don't become one flesh and one social unit, right? Well, you can get married, but you've got to maintain your own identity. I don't see that in here. Well, you need your own bank account. That just doesn't seem to follow. You need to have your own vacations. You need some alone time. You know, those things, I didn't get married to be alone. You know? And people are like, well, yeah, let's go do something. I'm like, I'm not going overnight. I like to be at home. I'm married. I'm an old married man. And I was like 24, and they're like, I didn't get married to be alone. That's not the reason. And, I'm sure I could say that more romantic, but I didn't. That's not the reason. So, we need to guard this, and I think it's important, you know, the Defense of Marriage Act that they passed against, homosexual marriage. I don't care politically what you think, but shouldn't we have started defending marriage back when divorce started becoming rampant? Shouldn't we have started before that when husbands didn't treat their wives like they should? Shouldn't we do it before that when wives didn't treat their husbands like they should? Shouldn't that be our defending a marriage? Was it really too late when you pass a law? Do laws make people moral? No. What makes people moral? God. Turning our hearts to God makes us moral. That's what's going to help. And so, the law, legal system, you know, hopefully I have a good one. Hopefully allows us to worship peaceably. But that doesn't make people moral. What makes people moral is when they follow God from their heart. And that's the hard thing that I have to do, and I've got to help my children, and hopefully you'll help me and help my children, because that's what we want to do. This is the standard. Anything that deviates from this is wrong. Does everybody agree with that? Is this sometimes hard? Yes. I read a funny quote. I think it's interesting when people say marriage is hard. Isn't living hard? Isn't being kind hard? Life is hard. Get over it. Right? But this is a beautiful thing. And when we mess that up is when bad things happen. Yes, Frank. Yes, matchmaking. I think arranged marriages are interesting, but I'm glad my mother didn't stick. Wow. Yeah, funny stories we can talk about later. But she did really like Tracy. And she was always mad that I didn't ask her to marry me earlier. Right. So how, I would paraphrase your question. How do you be a light in these situations? No, it's important. Because we all, I think, if we take this seriously, have the same emotions and the same cares. But how are we going to be light? So, were there prostitutes in Jesus' day? Did he go find the prostitutes and drag them out of the houses of prostitution? No. If the prostitutes came to him, did he talk with them? Right. Tax collectors? Were there a lot of tax collectors and that kind of extortioners? Were there a lot of those? Did he go drag them out of their tax collecting and extortion? No. But when they came to him, what's it? Well, yeah, Matthew, follow me, but he didn't grab it. And so this is the way I look at that. We live a moral life. We don't participate in the things that people see, right? We don't participate. We don't acknowledge. And, you know, if people ask, if we have an opening to talk about spiritual things, then we can through love and compassion. But I haven't had any luck telling people are going to burn in hell and that won't fix much. And that's being silly, but you know what I mean. Yes, Michelle? I agree, and I was going to get a verse for that. Yeah. No, it's important, and this is, and I think this verse section of verses. Jason, would you read 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 12? 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 12. So in this section of scripture, just while he's turning, this is talking about the man who had his father's wife, right? That's immoral. You've got to kick him out. You've got to mark him. This is an important thing. And then, from that inside the congregation, then Paul gives the Corinthians this further instruction about this marking and dissociation from him. Okay, so this section of scripture, the association here is important. We don't go pick our best buddies that we spend all the time with these people who are immoral of the world. That's not what this is saying. But this, I think, is saying that we're going to work with those people. We're going to be, you know, in, you know, school. There's going to be those people at work. All of this. And we're going to have to be light. But we're, it's not that we can't go, well, I'm sorry, you know, you're, you know, homosexual. You're living with your girlfriend or boyfriend. You can't, you know, I'm never going to talk to anybody like that. What he's saying here is that we're going to be actually in the world, but not of the world. Kind of that hard thing. So I think this scripture is speaking to what you were talking about, Michelle, is that we're going to be influences in the world, but we can't partake in that. Al, would you? Well, and right, but it's the same if people aren't married. It's the same if people have married a dozen times. We sin is sin, and we've got to get that through our heads, and those questions started when we started allowing that in society. Shannon, do you have to come in? No, but if you're, you know, a realtor, let's pretend. That was a joke. And, you know, I don't know what the rules are. I think you have more autonomy, but if someone calls up and says, hey, can you show me this house? And you say, sure. And they show up. Are you legally required to show them in the house even if they have an improper living situation? Right. As soon as they have money. Well, of course, we don't have to deal with the poor immoral people, but, you know, but exactly. So that's what I'm talking about. And that's what I've made the distinction of. Spending time with, hanging out with is different than through our work and through school and all of that. We're going to deal with people who are immoral. But when it comes to Christians, those called brothers, then this dissociation is what is commanded in 1 Corinthians 5. So, there is that distinction that Paul makes. Alright. When does this end? We have 5 minutes, is that right? Six? I did start it. No, the person who, no. This is a very important thing, and I think we need to talk through it, because that'll help us when we talk with our children and others if we've had the conversation. So I'm trying to encourage the conversation so we all contribute and all participate. Yes, Mike? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's funny to use Darwinian evolution against those of the world. Anyway, it's quite an interesting conversation. I don't recommend it unless you're ready to yell that, theoretically. But yeah, no, there is a pattern, and God does make patterns and shows us that. All right. Leviticus 18:22. So in this section, I have written down the wrong verb. Okay. Alright, so. Okay, yeah, go ahead and read it. Yeah. Oh, I've got to 23. I was like, hey, I'm good with numbers. Okay, so yes, read 18, 22, and 23. Someone who has a strong stomach. Alright. And then you can look, provisions against incest in 16 through 18. So are we talking about sexual perversions here, or are we talking about idol worship here? Right. is incest still against the law? I know that's a scary question. It is still against the law, right? And everybody's like, well, you know, that's gross. A lot of people do. Unfortunately, that there's discussions of that as law. Bestiality, is it illegal still? Yeah, oh yeah, no, that's bad. But, so this is the, we're discussing sexual perversion. Which perversion means taking something that is good, what God intended, and changing it and making it bad. Okay? So when we go to Leviticus, and we look at this, are we under the old law? No. But this informs us in the pattern. So when we read about homosexuality in the New Testament, there's a continuity, right? And so when people say it's all about, you know, worship of, you know, idols and all that, this is talking about sexual perversion. This is talking about it in that context, and that is, this is not talking about prostitution or, idol worship. It's important to know because you'll see that a lot in the literature. Any comments or questions on that? And then that is very true. This is reiterating Leviticus 20:13, again talking about incest, and then talking about homosexuality. Again, this is against God's plan. Again, society does still condemn incest. This is of the same type of sin. It's in the same list. So again, this is talking about the sexual activity, not idolatry or pedestry or, you know, rape or forcing or anything like that. This is talking about sexual perversion. Okay? You can tell I'm really comfortable with this. That's a very, very good point. And so, yes, when you look at this context here, is God's saying this in contrast to the cultures in which that are around them or they're displacing. So that's important to remember. And we are in the same situation, right? All right. We'll continue next time.